I want to talk about the ordinary ordering principle of how people tend to live their lives, of how evolution has evolved to give us priorities in life. And the basic priorities of the ordinary ordering principle are that the body wants to be comfortable and the mind wants to have answers. Okay, so the body wants not to be in pain and to have enough food and to have shelter and to have clothes. The body wants the temperature to be comfortable. The body wants that sort of thing. The body wants the bed to be comfortable. The mind wants answers. It wants to know what's going on. It wants to know, first of all, what is going on and why is it going on and what does it mean that it's going on and what's going to happen next. We're always w wanting to know. Have you maybe noticed that when your computer goes wrong, it's always what's wrong and why is it happening? That's my brother's big thing. It shouldn't be doing this. Why is it doing this? The mind has to have answers, and it wants answers to big things too. What's the meaning of life? What will become of me in 10 years? But also the tiny little things. What am I going to have for dinner? I forgot to get blah blah blah, and now I have to figure out something else. Why did I forget? What's going on? So it's just a natural thing that our minds want answers and our body wants comfort. And that's really the bottom line of what our being has instinctively over the millennia learned is going to make us satisfied or content. Or happy, if you want to use that word. The problem is that this doesn't always work out, does it? I have actually a really comfortable bed. I got one of those memory foam mattresses, and it's just like, I don't know, sleeping on a cloud or something, and I've got these lovely down comforters. So I get into my bed and I am happy and comfortable and it's lovely. And then I wake up in the middle of the night with a hot flash. And suddenly my comfortable bed, I'm uncomfortable in it, right? Now, of course, there's some things I can do about that. I can throw the covers off until I get too cold and have to pull them back on. And I sit there complaining to myself that I've been woken up by a hot flash. And, I hate being sweaty in bed and, this and that. And when is this ever going to end, if it ever is? But even the simplest things, I can control so much of my comfort. But there comes a point where I'm not in control, and there always comes a point where it changes, right? We will never be able to achieve comfort. There's never an end point that now finally I am comfortable. Because then in the middle of the night you have a hot flash. You have to start over. And yeah, we do our best to be comfortable, but it's never ultimately satisfying, and that's a problem because our evolution has made that one of our main drives, and it's never going to satisfy us. And it's the same thing with the mind. I mean, it's good to know what's going on, right? It's good to have answers. But as soon as you get one thing answered, there's always another question. We don't know what's happening with Arizona. Maybe Arizona gets reported tonight. And then our next question is, well, what about Pennsylvania? Or, If we're lucky, what's going to happen in the intervening 3 months? There's always another question that comes up. So no matter how many questions we answer, there's always going to be something we don't know that we want to know. And of course, I'm not saying that having answers is a bad thing. Just like with the comfort, we try and make ourselves comfortable. With our brain, we try and find answers. In practical terms, we try to plan ahead by getting as much information as we can. If we knew the answer to what is going to happen tomorrow, we might behave very differently today. We might be more effective because we know what's going to happen, but we don't. So, just like the comfort, we do our due diligence. We get what answers we can, and in the bigger question, why, what's my purpose, what's the meaning of life, maybe we're on a spiritual path, and we are learning about that, but even those answers are going to change. So you never achieve knowing. There's never an end point when you finally know everything you have to know. So these the this this ordinary ordering principle, as Shinzen likes to call it, and I just like that phrase, this ordinary ordering principle of how we have evolved to try and achieve satisfaction, contentment, whatever you want to call it, is doomed to failure. And yet we still live by that, even if we're not aware that we're doing it. Now, there is another way of living our lives, which when you're on this path or other paths, with mindfulness, it doesn't have the monopoly on contentment. There are many ways to do it, but if you're on this sort of contemplative path where you're learning about yourself and you're learning that comfort is not the be all and end all, you eventually move into a different ordering principle. And what Shinzen calls an extraordinary ordering principle, because we are extraordinary when we get it. And that principle is that the body, rather than wanting comfort, the body experiences everything fully or completely. I'll explain this in a minute. So the body completely experiences, and the mind knows itself at the deepest level. So it gets the ultimate answer instead of the answer to all the myriad questions that come and go. The mind can know the ultimate answer of who am I? Or what am I? Or what am I not? However you want to phrase it. And those two things can be fulfilling, can bring satisfaction, even in the midst of unanswered questions and discomfort. So what do I mean by a complete experience, and what do I mean by knowing yourself at the deepest level? So a complete experience, I'm not really sure if that's the best word for it, but I don't know any better word. A complete experience is one which you, and when I talk about experience, I mean our subjective experience of it. So an external thing happens and we have a subjective experience of it. Or an internal emotion arises, we have a subjective experience. When that experience, we allow it to come and go, to arise and pass, to be there and to change with a sort of hands-off thing, not trying to change it, not trying to stop it if we don't like it, not trying to cling on to it if we do like it. If this sounds somewhat like equanimity, then it is. A complete experience is when we finally learn how to just allow whatever's going on internally to go on without interfering with it. Because if you are interfering, if you're trying to change it, if you're hanging on to it or trying to push it away, you're creating a block, like a dam in the river. And that holds things back, that clogs things up. And like a dam in a river, it clogs up the river, so other stuff starts hanging up on it too, if you don't clear that dam. So the complete experience is not damming up the flow of the experience, of the internal response to what's going on, the emotional, the physical, psychological response. Does that make sense so far a little bit? The mind knowing itself at the deepest level, we've talked about this also. This is recognizing that the self, that who we are, is not a fixed thing, that we are a process. We are constantly changing. We are a verb, not a noun. And the closer you look, you eventually discover that we are simply the arising and passing of moments. And as soon as those moments are gone, then who we were in that moment is gone also. We've become someone new. Shinzen said something recently that I really like. He says, reality exists on the razor edge of now. And that razor only has two sides, right? It has arising and passing. And if you're anywhere else, you're off that razor edge of now. And we exist in that moment of now. Every moment we exist. But then that moment is gone and we don't exist in that moment anymore. And yet we try and hang on to it and make it into who we are. But we're here, we're right now. And if we can master complete experience and knowing, experiencing that we are just the arising and passing of this moment, then we can actually be fulfilled and content, and also effective, because we're not being driven by all the other crap that we hang on to. And there's a weird thing about this complete experience. It doesn't matter if it's a pleasant experience or an unpleasant experience. We've talked about how the suffering is really in our reaction, right? The suffering, there can be pain, which is a sensation that is unpleasant, but the suffering comes from our aversion to it and our stories about it. So we're sort of saying the similar thing. If we can experience the pain, whether it's physical or emotional, without having that grasping and pushing away, then there's something really, it's like it's mysterious, it's magic, but it becomes fulfilling to experience that pain if we're doing it fully, completely. It doesn't matter anymore what the event is if we are able to fully and completely experience it. Of course, like I've said, we're not saying that there's anything wrong with comfort or anything wrong with answers. In fact, it's good to try and be comfortable. It's good to try and find answers. The problem is when you place your contentment or your happiness or your relief or whatever it is, you place that in the hands of answers and comfort. Because answers and comfort are going to fail you. of course, you plan as well as you can according to the answers you have. You try and get the answers, you try and get the information, and you try and plan accordingly. But you cannot depend on comfort or answers for satisfaction in life. It can be, you can depend on a complete experience and knowing yourself at the deepest level to change the whole foundation of your, I'll say happiness, whatever you want to define that as. There's a problem though, right? That none of us here, especially me, don't experience every moment fully. And I'm getting to know myself at the deepest level, but I don't live in that reality all the time. We're getting closer, you know, we're learning. That's what this practice is all about, is learning to experience fully, learning to have equanimity, learning to not be driven by our emotions, learning that we are not fixed in some unchangeable identity. That's the whole path. That's what we're doing, but we're not there yet. And so that makes it sort of difficult to say, okay, which way is Arizona going? I'm anxious about that. I can't deny that I'm anxious about that. But I can experience that anxiety with equanimity. And that helps me to deal with it. Actually, it just occurred to me that maybe sometimes there are answers that are better not to have. The answer of it's only 5 minutes later and they still don't know is maybe better not to seek out, you know, don't be on your phone every 5 minutes waiting for something that we won't know till tomorrow. That'll make your anxiety worse, but that's an aside. I can say that this is what we need to do to deal with the situation we're in. You know, we are in a situation in which we know no answers. You know, we've got politics, we've got COVID, we've got environmental issues, we've got social issues. There are a billion questions that, you know, I'm saying, don't worry about it, just experience your confusion completely. I know it's not that easy, but that's where we're getting. And so on one hand, there's encouragement there that we're heading in the right direction to be able to deal with this sort of thing more effectively, both in terms of our internal response and because of a more effective internal response, our ability to act. But until we're actually there completely, what do we do? Well, then we start doing little things that we can do at this point in our journey. And one of those things we've already talked about, the practice of don't know. And I think that might be a good place to start again tonight, to delve into that again, to intentionally try to train ourselves to be okay with not knowing. It's not going to solve all of our, you know, it's not going to make all the anxiety just go away or just make the fear, you know, we're not going to suddenly be optimists. Well, I hope we're all optimists. We're not going to suddenly be unrealistically optimistic. You know, it's not about feeling good. It's about being able to not be driven by the need to know, to accept that there are things that we don't know, to learn what we can, but to be able to take our hands off or maybe take it off our heart is a better way of imagining it, the need to know things that we can't know. So I think for our guided meditation tonight, I'd like to do the don't know practice again. We did it, as I said, a few weeks ago, but we've got a little bit more meat. It's like putting more weight on the weight machines. We've got a little more weight to work with tonight. So I don't think there's any harm in doing it again and again and again and again. So that's as much as I really want to talk about politics and COVID and environmental problems tonight. But I want to acknowledge that they're there. When I say let's not talk about it, it's not to say let's pretend it's not happening. Instead, it's to say let's turn away from what we don't know right now and work with being okay with not knowing. Does that sound good? Any comments or questions about any of all that?
Well, when you say about having a full experience, mm-hmm. Did you say that it doesn't matter if it's a positive one or a negative one?
Yes, that's right. And what I'm talking about is the complete experience is our response, right? So just like I've said before, accepting equanimity is not about just letting the kid get hit by a car and being okay with it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the internal response. So if I'm in emotional turmoil, or I'm in physical pain, or I have fear, or I have to make a decision, if I can have that complete experience of that fear or of that confusion and just let it be, let the emotion be there, don't try and stop it, don't try and change it, let it flow from beginning to end, there's something about that not blocking. Mm-hmm. Something about the flow in which the content of the flow is no longer important. Just experiencing the complete flow is satisfying. So you still have the pain, or you still have the fear, or you still have the confusion, but it's just become motion. It's just become the arising and passing of reality.
And same for fear or for joy, something positive as well, right?
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. Because if we try and hang on to the joy, we're blocking it up too. Mm-hmm. So we've done other practices in which we focus on the positive things and enjoy them more, which is fine. We can focus on them without messing with them. But what I'm talking about tonight is, yes, not trying to hang on to the good, not trying to push away the bad. Just letting it go from beginning to end. It will arise and it will pass. Mm-hmm. And then there's some sort of weird but really fulfilling sense. Yeah. Of satisfaction in that experience, regardless of the content of the experience.
I think we've all done that. You know, maybe I feel like I've had those experiences, but it hasn't been talked about or identified, maybe.
Right. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. I think we all do. And if you can, now that you have like a name for it or a context around it, whenever that happens, if you notice it and intentionally notice it, then you're sensitizing yourself to noticing it more and more. Because I think it happens all the time in little ways. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see a flower.
Yes.
Filled with joy, and then you walk on you train yourself to notice those moments, you'll notice them more and more. And the more you notice them, the more your body and mind like them and want to do it. And it's sort of like a positive reinforcement cycle. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We all have those experiences, but they come and go. You know, you can't hold them, and so they're not what sticks in our memory. But it can be if we train ourselves to pay more attention to them.
And then the other thing that I wondered is, when you're talking about moments of knowing yourself deeply, is there a way that you can give an example of that? Is that something that can be put into words?
I don't know. We've talked about it many times in many ways, and there's having a direct experience of it, and you do that often enough, and you start to believe that that's the reality. So even when you're not experiencing it, you know that you're, you know, it's like knowing that you're watching a movie and that that's not really what's going on. Truth. But it's, you know, for example, those moments, like we were saying, when you see the flower, and there's a moment when you are, when that moment is all that there is the moment of flower being, and there's not really an awareness of I am seeing the flower.
Okay. Or
even that I'm there. There's just,
everything else drops away.
Well, it's more that I am part of this process.
Okay.
I am not separate from the flower.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
And that also happens often. And sometimes we notice it and sometimes we enjoy it, but the more we experience it directly, it starts shifting our understanding, our deep inside belief. So that now I can say, you know, this isn't me. I have to pretend like it's me, because how else am I going to be in the world with people? But deep down, I know that I'm just a process. And that's a switch from thinking that deep inside I'm just a process, but I still actually believe that this is me and I'm trying to convince myself otherwise. So you go from a conceptual knowledge and an occasional experience to building up those occasional experiences until the conceptual knowledge becomes the true belief. I shouldn't say belief, because belief implies, I'll say the knowledge, the experience-based knowledge. And to bring it back to the don't know practice, the more we can be okay with not knowing, the flip side of that is that what we're doing is letting go more. So we are improving the flow of the experience by getting better at not having to know. You know, so you make these little inroads all in different places, and eventually you get into the center. So shall we do some?